Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Page, Fort Worth Knights.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There is no doubt that we are awash in a sexualized, some have even said, a pornified culture. It's not only the culture, it's us as well. We make up the culture. But even the most fundamental ways that we think about human sexuality, about sex, have been affected by both that culture and the creep of the sexual revolution. Is it even possible to make the case now as Christians that, for instance, we expect our young people to abstain from sexual activity until marriage, that marriage is in fact the only place where sex is safe, to use the parlance of the day? Joining us to talk about a culture of sexual integrity on this Wednesday afternoon, Heather Roush. She's a pastor's wife and mother of three children in Michigan. She's a life issues speaker, an abstinence educator, and a certified pregnancy center advocate. She's also author of the new book, Sexuality Mentality: Creating a Culture of Biblical Integrity. Heather, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. It's so great to be back with you guys.
You say that in all your years of traveling around discussing this subject, no one has ever asked you why you got caught up in your earlier years in casual sex. So here's your opportunity to answer that question. Why did you?
Such a great question, Todd, and a great way to start off this conversation today. You know, I think it comes down to, there's no easy answer to that. Well, there isn't one answer to that. I shouldn't say that. There is a very easy answer to that, and that is that, first and foremost, I bought into the lie that the quantity of people who loved me in my life, and I use love very loosely as a teenager. That's, you know, my idea of love was certainly not what God's idea of love is, but the quantity of people that I felt loved me was more important than the quality. And that, you know, encompasses kind of the other two things that I would say. And the first one is vanity played into that quite a bit. You know, when you are looking at love as this superficial thing that the world is showing us it is, we're thinking that the more beautiful we are, the more popular we are, the more attractive we are, that's our value, that our value is found in that. Which then I think leads to a greater belief in myself and my capabilities than in God and God's capabilities and overwhelmingly God's love and his value of me and every single human life. And when we believe that when our belief is stronger in ourselves, it makes us vulnerable. It makes us alone. And when we're alone, we're weak. But when we're together with God, we're strong. And when I guess as an adolescent, that was my downfall. That's why I got caught up in casual sex.
Many in the church today think that Christians have been silent on the subject of sex. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, you know, that's a big generalization that the church at large, but yes, definitely. I think the culture, we're seeing the ramifications of that. The culture has not been quiet. And now we're coming to the place, which is so encouraging, where the church is wanting to speak. We're finally able to talk about it because I feel like we've been backed into a corner. The culture is speaking so loudly that we finally are to the place where we're saying, hold on a second, they're not being quiet, neither should we.
There has been kind of a trend, and this is mostly in kind of evangelical circles, of recognizing the fact that the church has said too little about sex. They kind of go overboard on the other side. There's a famous pastor who brings a bed up onto the stage of his mega church, and he and his wife sit in the bed and they talk about their sex life and things like that. And it's all kind of done with tongue in cheek, kind of a sniggering attitude. What do you make of that?
Well, first off, I think we have enough shock value of sex in our culture. You know, that just brings me right back to, you know, there's already enough of that going on. That kind of sex and that kind of disregard for sex happening in the world already. I believe that mocks God's intentions for sex. Although I'm sure they're well intended. You know, sexuality mentality, the book and developing that Christian mentality about sex is about a balance of passionate and compassionate love, all within the confines of marriage, but also the idea that God created this, and he takes it very seriously. So I guess, you know, those kinds of shock value things that draw the general public to focus on sex as something gimmicky, that turns me off a little bit.
What is sexual integrity?
Sexual integrity is approaching sex with the same respect in which God intended for it. And what does that look like? Okay, so there's one really easy way that we can come back and remember this. That looks like marriage. Carrying ourselves in a manner that will lead to a long, healthy marriage someday. That's what sexual integrity is about, and that's why we teach sexual integrity to our children, so that we can equip them to have long, healthy marriages someday, to procreate and have healthy families someday. As a mom, I certainly want that. As an abstinence educator, I certainly want that, and that's actually the reason I started getting into this line of work, this ministry, this service to the church and to the communities that we serve, because I started seeing, as I was out there trying to teach sexual integrity to youth, that they were ill-equipped. They didn't know. We were sending them out there into this world with no foundation of what it looked like to have a healthy relationship and a healthy marriage someday. And that was really convicting for me, and that was the beginning of my journey. I started to find all the information I could. I started to listen and to watch and observe and to pray for these kids that I saw in my life who were struggling because they just didn't know. They just didn't know.
Talk about what you call the propaganda that is pushed on both our youth and adults.
Well, I think sexual propaganda and the rise of the marketing era in the United States go hand in hand. The reality is that sex sells, right? Sex sells. Why does it sell? Because it creates a chemical effect in our minds that is similar to an addiction to a drug. Marketers learned this really early on, and I mean we're talking the better part of 90 years that consumerism has been in their pockets as they use the chemical effects of sex to draw people to their products. So, for example, you know, look at this. I always say, you can look at the five senses and see how sexual propaganda has infiltrated our world. And the sense of the smell aspect of it being the smell of money, right? But you look at, you know, food commercials, chocolate industries, and they always draw, their commercials are always being brought to back to lust. And then you look at music and movies and sporting events, the uniforms, you know, the commercials, all of the sensationalism that goes with the marketing and consumerism industry are focused to tantalize people, and it's done on purpose. It's intentional, and it's working, and we are consumed with sex as a culture, and it wasn't by mistake.
So how has that propaganda affected even Christians in the way they think about it, even unconsciously?
Casually. I think we've begun to view and treat sex as the world does, casually. You know, I can't tell you how many parents I've heard over the years say things to me like, we can't expect in this day and age for our kids to not have sex outside of marriage. Well, why not? Why not? There is nothing new under the sun. And, you know, I use this great analogy. If we saw a child approaching a hot stove, we would seek to stop that child from touching the hot stove because we as adults, through our experiences, through, you know, our trials in life, we know that the child is going to get burned, right? Right. In the same way, sexual integrity, teaching sexual integrity, instructing, caring for the less vulnerable among us never gets old, never gets outdated or irrelevant for that very same reason. We care for one another. We love one another because God first loved us, and he has equipped us as the adults to mentor and teach our children.
How would you contrast the popular notion of safe sex, you said there's no such thing outside of marriage, with the biblical gift of marriage?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the contrast between safe sex and marriage is that there is no such thing as safe sex outside of marriage. That's your contrast. God designed marriage to protect us from the twisting and the perversion of sex that he knew Satan would bring into this world. So that is the most evident contrast that we have, is that one really you can't have one without the other. There is no such thing as safe sex outside of marriage, but within the confines of marriage, sex is this incredible gift that God has given us to bond us with our spouse in a five-point way, not just with our physical bodies, but with, you know, our social, our emotional, our mental, and our spiritual selves as well. There's a five-point match there that God has created, and his desire is that would be secondary to a relationship that's founded and interwoven with him as the foundation and the basis. And you don't get that when you're having casual sex outside of the confines of marriage.
Heather Roush is our guest. We're talking about a culture of sexual integrity. She's a pastor's wife and mother of three children in Michigan, life issues speaker, abstinence educator, and certified pregnancy center advocate. And she's authored the new book, Sexuality Mentality, Creating a Culture of Biblical Integrity. When we come back, it's time to talk about the pornification of our culture and of ourselves.
That it's time you learn about the facts of life, starting from let me tell you about the birds and the bees, the flowers and the trees, the moon up above, and a thing called love.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Let's examine the response of our Christian community to the cultural turmoil regarding sexuality and children.
Licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Beverly Yonke talking about her presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In 50 years, we've spiked to what is now a cultural crisis from what was a nearly non-existent issue. We can wring our hands, remain unacquainted with the facts, or simply remain silent and avoid the unpleasantries. Biblical sexuality and God's created order aren't polling well these days, while media talking heads gush about the joys and justice of violating natural law.
You can meet and hear Dr. Beverly Yonke making the case for a Christian response to the transgender child at Issues Etc.'s Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Heather Roush is our guest, author of Sexuality Mentality, Creating a Culture of Biblical Integrity. We're talking about a culture of sexual integrity with her. Heather, if you would talk a little bit about the pornification of both our culture and of ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, I go back to the marketing and the consumerism that engulfs us. I think overwhelmingly, there's an ignorance amongst us as North Americans especially, but I think as a diverse world as well. You know, there's an ignorance amongst us. We're caught up. Part of the angle that marketing and consumerism takes is not just to specifically target on sex. It's to get us so caught up and distracted and busy that we don't think deeper than the surface. And I think that's the epidemic that we're seeing here, and that every one of us can identify with that in every aspect of our lives. But because we're specifically talking about sexual integrity from a biblical perspective, I think that's a really foundational thing that we have to look at is, you know, this cultural, distracted culture that we live in. Satan has done a very good job through marketing and consumerism to distract us from the things of God and the will of God and the mentality of God in creating these wonderful things for us. And I'll include in that distracting us from the value of every human life. And because we are distracted, we're finding ourselves facing the pornification of this culture.
What should Christians be saying about homosexuality? And it's not as simple as homosexuality anymore. Of course, it includes all different kinds of alternate lifestyles/identities. What should Christians be saying about that?
Christians should be saying, speaking God's truth. That's what they should be doing. And that is, number one, that every human life has value, incredible intrinsic value to God, their creator. And second of all, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. I think, you know, you can narrow that down. You can continue to funnel that conversation down. But I think as Christians, we get caught up too much on the small details, the politics, and even just the intimidation. Every one of us in this day and age knows somebody or is in relationship with somebody or is struggling to be in relationship with somebody who is fighting this battle of homosexuality. And I think that we'd do ourselves a great service if we could bring it back up to that person has incredible value to God. And because they have incredible value to God, I want to love them and serve them and be in relationship with them as I seek to speak the truth that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ.
I think you make a great point there, Heather, because what I have observed in a lot of the advocacy for homosexuality and the other sexual identities, as they would say today, is a strong bent towards self-destruction. And a person wants to destroy themselves never starts with the idea that they are valuable to themselves or to someone else, much less to God himself.
Right. Oh, you hit it. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Todd. Yeah, exactly. And when we separate ourselves from those people, I mean, they're very vulnerable, hurting people. And I mean, you could look at the vast variety of sins out there and you could say the same thing. At points in my life, I've been a very vulnerable, hurting person. I'm so grateful that God put people in my life to speak the truth to me and to love me and support me and carry me through. And so, you know, I think as Christians, our first and foremost calling is to speak God's truth to them, not get caught up in the world's truths about it.
Why do you describe Christianity as an operating system when it comes to the ideas we have about sex and sexual behavior?
Well, I think it's not just Christianity. I think when I'm talking about the general operating system, I'm not just speaking about Christianity specifically so much as I'm seeking to bring order to people's thought process on what they believe about sex and marriage. I mean, we live in a world of chaos, and I think, like I said before, it's not very often that we have time or have an opportunity to intentionally sit down and think about what do we believe on this. What do we think about sex and casual sex outside of marriage? What do we believe about marriage and God's institution of marriage? And I think by being able to put that into the confines of an operating system where the family has a mission statement where they can recall what it is that they believe, what is it that the Bible tells us, who the Bible tells us we are in Christ, what is our identity as Christians, and then how does that establish our worldview as we move forward and we're talking about and living out sexual integrity as Christians in this world. I think, you know, like I said before, it's I'm seeking to bring order to people's thought process on what is it that they believe about sex and about marriage.
Two final questions for you, Heather. You spoke earlier about the fact that it is simply considered common sense nowadays that we can't expect, and we need to use the proper terms, we can't expect our children, not just young people, but our children to abstain until marriage. That is, I think if you probably polled the average Christian congregation, you might get about 30% of the people saying, well, of course. We can't expect them to abstain, regardless of what they've heard in church. It's just not realistic anymore. How do we make the case that it's not only realistic, it's actually necessary?
We open the conversation. We start the dialogue. And we begin to enrich ourselves with teaching, you know, with God's word, and we dig into it intentionally. We start finding out, and as we find out more information, we bring our children into that, and we pass that information on to them. I mean, it's actually very simple, but it does require great intention. And I think we're in a really wonderful place in our world now, and it's strange for me to say that, but sometimes things have to get really bad in order for things to turn around and get really good again. And I think as Christians in this culture, the sexual propaganda, the defiling and defacing of human life and of marriage has finally gotten bad enough where enough of the church are saying, this is something we need to focus on and be intentional about. And that was my intention in writing this book, was to give people a resource. You know, as I've spoken over the years and sought to teach over the years and build relationships with people, you know, this is a book I always wished I had, because people want to learn. They want to know. There just are not a lot of great resources out there that can bridge the gap and take this really overwhelming conversation and this very secretive conversation and just bring it to them in a way that they're able to digest it and take it in and understand it. And so I think overwhelmingly I'm encouraged that we're at a place now where people are ready to listen and they're ready to dive in and receive God's edification.
Speak to that person who is where you were years ago when you were finally, as you say near the beginning of your book, you were done with a life of casual sex. Speak to that person who's similarly done and they desperately want to start over.
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, you are loved beyond all recognition. Your God has created you with a specific plan and purpose in this world to serve Him and to honor Him. And He is a wonderfully forgiving God. I think this is before I go any further, I think, you know, there's a wonderful place here to talk about private confession, absolution with our pastors, which is just a wonderful gift that God has given us in order to receive forgiveness for our sins and then be set forth anew in order to start over. I think God has created community and togetherness in order that we might tell each other of His love and His grace. And it's by means of relationship that we share our joys, our struggles, our triumphs, and in the midst of that sharing, He gives us so much. So we have to recognize that as we pull these ideas and thoughts and experiences from our minds during this time of edification, you know, something really cool happens. Conviction happens. Conviction can cause us to pursue a dream or to speak up or to repent and start anew. And the Holy Spirit brings about that conviction for a purpose. So I also think, too, as somebody, you know, one of the mantras that I've really, it's based on the verse in Isaiah, you know, but it's something that I have really clung to in my life, is that idea of being wounded healers. God has brought us through these trials in our lives. He has exposed the lies that we've believed, and He seeks that, you know, they wouldn't just fall away and we'd forget about them, but, you know, those beliefs that we've had or those things that we've done in our past, those become part of us, and they have changed us, and now God doesn't want us to hide them back under the rug. He is so awesome and so incredible that He takes those things and He allows us to relate to other people who are struggling with the very same things, and He allows us to share His message of hope and restoration and renewal, you know, to them, to that person. And so, you know, I think we have all gone through things, and if you're somebody who is struggling with a life of casual sex or sexual immorality, just be encouraged that there is forgiveness for you, and you can receive that forgiveness through your pastor in private confession absolution, which is just so personal. And my husband always says it's your own private sermon. You can receive it that way, but God wills that you come to Him and you seek forgiveness and seek to be restored and set out anew. And hey, you have a story to tell, and you have a word of encouragement and hope that somebody needs to hear.
Heather Roush is a pastor's wife and mother of three children in Michigan. She's a life issues speaker and abstinence educator and a certified pregnancy center advocate. She's author of the new book, Sexuality Mentality, Creating a Culture of Biblical Integrity. You can find this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Sexuality Mentality, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Heather, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on Issues Etc. today. It was my joy to be here with you guys.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll find out why Mary Rice Hassan of the Ethics and Public Policy Center says that parents need to pull their children from public school before it's too late. We'll also continue our series on the Christian conscience in Isaiah with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, author of our book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.